An Olympia bartender takes the stand and says two things about the same customer on the same night. First, the man was drunk, slurring his words and unsteady on his feet. Second, based on the four strong cocktails he poured over about an hour and his rough sense of the man's weight, the customer's blood alcohol would have been around 0.15. Same witness, same night, same personal knowledge. The first sentence comes in, the second does not. Nothing about the bartender changed between them, and that is the whole idea of this topic. There are two doors into an opinion, and which one a witness uses has nothing to do with who they are. Here is the root. First, the lay door, Rule 701 and its three elements. Then, the expert door, Rule 702, where the judge is a gatekeeper and asks four questions. Then, Rule 703, on what raw material an expert may build an opinion from. And Rule 705, on when the facts have to come out. And finally, Rule 704, the ultimate issue rule. Start with the principle underneath all of it. Witnesses give the jury raw facts, what they saw and heard and did, and the jury draws the conclusions. But some facts cannot be conveyed any other way. You cannot describe the car was going about 70 by listing raw sense data. And some questions need expertise the jury does not have. The opinion rules draw that line. So think of two doors. An ordinary witness walks through Rules 701. A qualified specialist walks through Rules 702 to 705. Which door depends not on who the witness is, but on what the opinion is based on, everyday perception or specialized knowledge? The same person can go through both doors in one trial, which is exactly what our bartender tried to do. This topic is starred, so you need these elements cold. The lay door first. A lay witness is any ordinary witness not testifying as an expert, and the default is that they describe facts, not conclusions. Rule 701 carves out a narrow space for their opinions, and it has three requirements. All three must be met. 1. Rationally based on perception. The witness must have personally seen, heard, smelled, or otherwise sensed the thing, and the opinion must be a reasonable read of it. No first-hand perception, no lay opinion. 2. Helpful. The opinion must make the testimony clearer or help decide a disputed fact. And here is the part candidates skip. If the jury is in just as good a position to draw the conclusion from the raw facts, the opinion adds nothing and comes out. 3. Not specialized. The opinion must not draw on the scientific, technical, or specialized knowledge that Rule 702 governs. The moment it does, it becomes expert testimony and has to satisfy Rule 702 instead. That is Rule 701C, and it exists for one reason: to stop parties from dodging the expert rules by dressing an expert up as an ordinary witness. So, what does the lay door actually let through? Courts routinely allow collective impressions, everyday conclusions that compress a bundle of observations into a word or two. The speed of a vehicle the witness watched, whether a person seemed drunk, high, angry, frightened, or in pain. Someone's approximate age or general appearance, whether a voice or handwriting belongs to someone the witness knows. Sensory descriptions, a smell of alcohol, how hot or how loud something was, and one that surprises people, the value of the witness's own property. A homeowner may tell the jury her house is worth about $400,000 without being an appraiser, because owners are presumed to know what their own things are worth. Now back to our bartender, and test yourself. Drunk, slurring, unsteady on his feet. Lay opinion or expert? Lay, ordinary observation, helpful to the jury. No training required. Now that blood alcohol figure, worked out from drink count, body weight, and elapsed time using a formula he learned in a certification course. That is a methodology. It is expert testimony. It has to clear Rule 702, and it cannot come through the lay door. Through the expert door, then, and the first thing to notice is who is standing in it. The trial judge. Before the jury ever hears the opinion, the judge decides admissibility as a preliminary question under Rule 104A, and in doing so is not bound by the rules of evidence. The 2023 amendment to Rule 702 sharpened that job. It now says in plain terms that the party offering the expert must show, more likely than not, that every requirement is met. That reversed a bad habit some courts had of waving shaky opinions through to the jury as going merely to weight. Reliability is a threshold the judge polices. It is not a jury question. Rule 702 then asks four questions. Is the witness qualified? Is the subject a proper one, meaning will it help? Is the method reliable? And was that method reliably applied to these facts? Take them in order. Qualification first. Rule 702 lists five independent paths, and any one of them is enough. Knowledge, skill, experience, training, or education. No formal degree is required. A Franklin roofer with 20 years on the job can be qualified by experience alone to explain how a roof should be flashed. But the qualification has to match the subject, and that is a real trap. The roofer can testify about proper flashing and not about the chemical makeup of the sealant. Try it. A board-certified cardiologist, plainly a leading expert in heart medicine, is offered to testify that a drug's metabolites are toxic to liver cells. He has no training in hepatology, pharmacology, or toxicology. Qualified or not? Not. A real expert testifying outside their field is still inadmissible. Second question, proper subject matter. And the modern touchstone here is helpfulness. Rule 702A asks whether the specialized knowledge will help the jury understand the evidence or decide a fact. Usually that means the subject is beyond the common understanding of ordinary jurors. DNA typing, the standard of medical care, the mechanics of a crash. If the point is plain common sense, the jury can weigh on its own. An expert adds nothing. Three things helpfulness rules out even for a well-qualified witness. An expert may not testify to pure questions of domestic law, because that is the judge's job through jury instructions. An expert may not simply tell the jury which side should win, and an expert may not vouch for another witness's credibility, because assessing credibility is the jury's exclusive job. Third question, reliability. And this is the most heavily litigated part of the topic. The opinion must rest on sufficient facts or data. It must be the product of reliable principles and methods, and it must reflect a reliable application of those methods to this case. Note what the judge is asking: whether the reasoning and methodology are sound, not whether the conclusion is ultimately right. To gauge that, courts weigh a set of flexible, non-exclusive factors. Can the theory or technique be tested? And has it actually been tested? Has it been subjected to peer review and publication? Is there a known or potential rate of error? And are there standards controlling how the technique is carried out? And is it generally accepted in the relevant field? Two points here trip people up. First, the gatekeeping duty covers all expert testimony, not just scientific testimony. Engineering, forensic, and purely experience-based opinions must be reliable too. For an experience-based expert, the court asks whether the witness reliably applied that experience. I know because I have done this for years, trust me. With no explained method is not enough. Second, the 2023 amendment sharpened Rule 702D, and it targets overstatement. The opinion has to stay within the bounds of what the method actually supports. A Columbia fingerprint examiner may testify that two prints share ridge features. Claiming a 100% certain 1-in-a-billion match likely exceeds what the technique can deliver and now clearly overshoots. One contrast before we move on. A minority of states still use the old general acceptance test, sometimes called FRI, where acceptance in the field is not one factor, but the entire question. Under Rule 702, a brand new but well-tested method can still come in. Under a general acceptance rule, it is out, even if reliable. Assume the federal rules of evidence apply, unless a question hands you a different standard. When it does, apply the standard you were given. Rule 703 asks a completely different question. Rule 702 asks whether the method is sound. Rule 703 asks what raw material the expert may feed into it. Three permissible sources. Firsthand, meaning facts the expert personally observed, like a doctor who examined the patient herself. At trial, meaning facts the expert takes in by listening to the other evidence or through a hypothetical question posed by counsel. And outside facts learned before trial that experts in the field reasonably rely on, even if those facts are themselves inadmissible. That third one is the tested one. The key is reasonable reliance judged by the norms of the field, an objective standard the judge screens. If cardiologists routinely rely on outside MRI reports, a cardiologist may rely on one too, even though the report is hearsay and would never come in on its own. But there is a catch about telling the jury, and it is the single most counterintuitive rule here. Say the underlying facts are otherwise inadmissible. The proponent may disclose them to the jury on direct, only if their value in helping the jury evaluate the opinion substantially outweighs their prejudicial effect. That is, a reverse balancing test. The default tilts against disclosure, which is the opposite of ordinary Rule 403. And even when those facts do come in, they are admitted only to help the jury assess the opinion, never as substantive proof. And a limiting instruction says so. Keep the two questions apart, whether the expert may rely on something and whether the jury may hear it, are decided separately. Rule 705 is the procedural partner. An expert may state the opinion and give the reasons for it without first testifying to the underlying facts or data unless the court orders otherwise. The old requirement of a formal hypothetical question is gone. The safeguard is cross-examination, where opposing counsel may force the expert to lay bare the facts behind the opinion and expose a weak foundation. Last rule, and it is the one with a famous exception. The old common law forbade any opinion on the ultimate issue, the very question the jury had to answer. Rule 704A abolished that bar. An Olympia accident reconstruction expert may testify that the truck crossed the center line, even though fault is the ultimate issue in the case. But 704A does not open the door to everything, because the opinion must still be helpful under Rule 702 and survive Rule 403. So a naked legal conclusion is still out. An expert flatly declaring the defendant was negligent or the contract was unconscionable just tells the jury the result in legal terms the judge should define. The fix is to keep the expert on the facts. The stairway violated the building code, and that kind of defect commonly causes falls, helps. The landlord was negligent does not. Then the hard exception, Rule 704B. In a criminal case, an expert must not opine on whether the defendant had a mental state that is an element of the crime or of a defense. That question belongs to the jury alone. And note the reach. This is not limited to the insanity defense. It covers any mental state element, like knowledge or intent, and it applies to both sides. What the expert may still do is describe the condition and its typical effects. In a Columbia fraud prosecution, a psychiatrist may explain the defendant's cognitive disorder and how it generally impairs planning. The psychiatrist may not testify that the defendant therefore lacked the intent to defraud. The expert simply cannot connect the last dot. The Supreme Court drew the edge of that line in 2024. An agent testifies that most drug couriers in a given situation know there are drugs in the car. He never says whether this defendant knew. Barred by 704B or allowed? Allowed. General testimony about a class describes the group and leaves it to the jury to decide whether this defendant is like most couriers. What is barred is an opinion pinned to this defendant's own mind. A word on authorities. This episode named no cases, and for evidence that is deliberate. Everything here lives in the numbered rules, and the exam gives you a fact pattern and asks whether the opinion comes in. The one name worth recognizing is the old general acceptance test. So you notice when a question quietly swaps it in for Rule 702. If you keep only three things, keep these. The three elements of Rule 701, because element C is where the lay door closes. The four questions of Rule 702, and the fact that the proponent must satisfy each more likely than not. And the reverse balance in Rule 703, because it runs opposite to every other balancing test you know. Now, the traps. Straight from the examiner's favorites. 1. Lay opinion that is really expert testimony. If the conclusion depends on training or a methodology, it must clear Rule 702. 2. Assuming an expert's inadmissible basis automatically comes into evidence. Reasonable reliance lets the expert rely on it. Disclosing it to the jury is a separate question. 3. Reading the Rule 703 disclosure test as ordinary Rule 403. It is flipped. The probative value must substantially outweigh prejudice before those facts reach the jury. 4. Thinking an expert can vouch for another witness's credibility. Telling the jury a witness is truthful is not helpful and is not allowed. 5. Applying Rule 704B in a civil case or to an element that is not a mental state. It bites only in criminal cases and only on the defendant's mental state. And 6. Forgetting that the qualification must fit the subject. A real expert testifying outside their field is still inadmissible. Time for the quick check, and this one comes straight from the Bargo question bank. Dr. Reyes has properly based her admissible opinion in part on another radiologist's MRI report, which is hearsay and not in evidence. On direct, the plaintiff's lawyer wants her to read the report's detailed findings aloud to the jury. The defense objects that reciting them invites the jurors to treat the report as proof of the injury itself. May the plaintiff disclose the inadmissible report's contents on direct? Option 1, yes, because the report is admissible for all purposes once the expert relies on it. Option 2, only if its value in evaluating the opinion substantially outweighs its prejudicial effect. Option 3. No, because the facts underlying an expert's opinion may never be revealed. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2. Rule 703 lets the proponent disclose otherwise inadmissible facts only if their value in helping the jury evaluate the opinion substantially outweighs their prejudicial effect. Even then, they come in only to assess the opinion. Option 1 assumes reliance makes the report fully admissible, but reliance permits the opinion, not disclosure of the hearsay. Option 3 bars disclosure entirely, which is also wrong. If you felt the pull of option 1, that is exactly the trap. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. Which door a witness uses depends on what the opinion is based on, not on the witness's title. 2. Rule 701 needs all 3 elements, and element C sends anything resting on specialized knowledge over to Rule 702. 3. Under Rule 702, the judge gatekeeps, and the proponent must show each requirement more likely than not. 4. Rule 703 lets an expert rely on inadmissible facts the field reasonably relies on, but disclosing those facts to the jury takes a reverse balance. 5. Rule 704A allows ultimate issue opinions. Bare legal conclusions are still out. And Rule 704B bars an expert from opining on a criminal defendant's mental state. Which is why our bartender got exactly 1 of his 2 sentences into evidence. He was never the problem. The basis of the opinion was. Next time, foundations, authentication, and best evidence. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.